You're listening to a 3CR podcast created in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.
50 years. To donate, call 03 9419 8377 or donate online at 3cr.org.au.
This is David Rovics, and you are tuned to 3CR, 8:55 a.m., Melbourne, Australia. Step three is finding there's a tactic when everyone believes it could be true. That if all the people work collectively, there just might be something we can do, and everything can change.
Hello and welcome to the Climate Action Show on 3CR 855 AM, which you might be listening to on the Community Broadcast Network. Before we begin, we'd like to acknowledge and pay respect to the people of the Woiwurrung and Boonwurrung language groups of the Eastern Kulin Nations on whose unceded lands the 3CR studios stand, respectfully acknowledging their ancestors and elders, past and present. We also acknowledge the traditional custodians and their ancestors of the lands and waters across Australia, where our broadcast reaches.
You're here on our Radiothon week, and you know why it's important. We know why it's important. It's important because we love receiving money and you love giving money. What the money is for and why we need it is a mystery, but this is the evening in which you're going to give it to us. We're looking to reach our target of $1,600 today. If only 16,000 of you donate 1 cent each, then we can get off the air and back to some music, which I know you want to hear. You can donate through phoning 03 9419 8377. You can also text us on 0488 809 855, or you can head to our website 3cr.org.au/donate, making sure, of course, to choose the Climate Action Show when you choose the program for which you are donating. All donations over $2 are tax deductible, which is very important this time of year. And you can also pledge an amount now and then pay it sometime in the future when you do know that you have some money. Over the next hour, we're going to be reading out your text. We're going to be taking your calls on the air, if you like. And we're going to be chatting about why climate action matters to us, matters to you, what you love about the show, what you don't love about the show, what you love about me personally, what you love about Shay, what you love about Rosie, and what you love about Bella. We also want to hear your thoughts about your utopian visions for Australia's ideal climate future. And if you'd like to give us a little spicy opinion, a little bit of chatter, we're up for that as well. Give us a call, we'll put you on the air and we'll just see what happens.
Yeah, so we've got a pretty exciting show for Radiothon. We're going to start by introducing ourselves a little bit because a few of us here are quite new to the Climate Action Show. So we're going to talk about ourselves, our interests, why we joined the Climate Action Show and how we think climate action has evolved or how it could evolve. We're also going to be interviewing Vivian Langford. Vivian is our faithful leader. She's our captain, our goal for a climate presenter.
Our guardian angel.
Yeah, and over the years she has given so much of her time to the Climate Action Show and I guess climate action more broadly. So we're going to be chatting to her and hearing about how great she is. But we would also love to hear from you, so another reminder to call us and chat to us on air. Even if you don't want to donate, you can just call and talk to us. But we would like you to donate, please. That's what we've got in store for the show today. So stick around.
Wondering how to pay your donation to 3CR Radiothon? It's easy. You can pay online at 3cr.org.au or Call us any weekday with your credit card details on 03 9419 8377. You can also come into the station at 21 Smith Street, Fitzroy during office hours and pay by cash or card. Or simply post your cheque or money order to PO Box 1277, Collingwood 3066. And be sure to tell us which program you'd like your donation to go to.
3CR, celebrating 50 years.
Welcome back to the Climate Action Show on the Community Broadcast Network. You're tuned into our special Radiothon episode. So today's show, we're going to be asking for donations, so please donate if you can. The number is 94198377. That's 94198377. Or you can go online to 3cr.org.au/donate. Remember to make it out to the Climate Action Show. You can also text us on 0488 809 855 with a little message or support if you want to read it out. So let's get into a few introductions. So we'll start with me because I'm talking.
Yeah, who are you?
So my name is Shay. I joined the Climate Action Show maybe the start of the year. I can't actually remember.
100 years ago.
Feels like forever. I joined, to help. I can't remember how I found out about 3CR, but I was doing some reception shifts and then a spot came up on Climate Action. And so I joined, but I was thinking a little bit about my history with climate activism and I'm not really sure what it is. I couldn't really think of anything.
Is it because climate change is an existential crisis that wakes you up at 2 a.m.?
Maybe. But I was thinking about how it has evolved over the years, which I think is kind of fun to talk about just in honor of the 50-year anniversary of 3CR. We're talking a lot about history and how old things are. I was thinking about how...
I'm right here. I can hear you.
Sorry. But I was thinking about how old things are and the history of climate activism and how it sort of started with, it's been around for so long, but when I think of it, I think of Rachel Carson's Silent Spring in the 70s and the kind of environmental movement that was happening. And it was kind of a shift from this very dominant patriarchal kind of capitalistic view of nature as something that's ours to kind of dominate and control and extract resources from. And then it kind of shifted to a more, view of seeing us as not above nature, but also respecting nature. And there were kind of all those quirky little Tumblr pictures of take nothing but photos, leave nothing but footprints, and there was kind of but it created simultaneously this real separation between us and nature, and it created a nature culture dualism. But I think it still in some ways posited us as being above nature in a way, we know better than to destroy nature. And then I think it kind of has shifted a bit more recently in terms of a more eco-philosophical kind of holistic view of nature as something that we're a part of rather than separate from. So in that, there's been a real shift in kind of mindsets of how we think differently to not be so controlling and dominant of nature, but how we shift our climate activism to put ourselves more embedded within the world.
And I'm interested in how you practice that in everyday life.
I guess just in the way but I think also in terms of my climate activism, it was very centered on mitigation and how we prevent this oncoming collapse and disaster. And there was this kind of a sense of hope really tethered to that. That if we just convince, and the fight as well for so long was against climate deniers. Mm. I was if we can just convince everyone to, convince everyone to believe us, then, and once everyone believes that climate change is real, then something will change. But we actually kind of found ourselves to be wrong in that, because now there's a lot of climate misinformation and money poured into misinformation, there's still a lot of people that don't believe it. But the majority is that people believe climate change is real and not much is changing. So it is still more important than ever. But we are looking at alternative kind of ways of living and existing.
Look, I can see Bella is bouncing up and down. I can see that you're so keen to talk.
Please interject.
No. I'm just agreeing with you. Yeah, I think you've got great points.
But I think this is in all sorts of activism that if you just give people the information, it's just that they know the wrong thing right now. And once you tell them the right thing, then everyone will change their mind and everyone's going to be like cool, normal, sensible people. You just need to tell them that, like, you know, dolphins have names and people on JobSeeker are not doll pledges, and also people with mental illnesses are not going to stab you, and also brown people are actually, like, just cool. And it's just that people don't know these things, and once they do know these things, then everything will be fine. But I think what we have learned from quite a few years of activism now is that it's not just people had the wrong information. It's like an underlying ideology.
Yeah, it's an underlying kind of way that we live, I think.
That's true. An underlying way that we live that kind of forces people to have this ideology.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. But Bella, what do you think about all this?
I think you make some great points as well. I think it's interesting. I think sometimes as well, I know, like, you know, some people, you know, want to do wrong purposely and don't have the best intentions. But I like to believe that most people, a majority of people, have the best of intentions and want to do well, but can't when they're being fed misinformation and disinformation and maybe swayed more easily by that and tend to grab onto that or feel threatened by it. So it's also harder to reach them now. And like Shay was saying, I think climate activism is very different from what it once was. I think we're seeing a lot of activism online now. I think it's, I don't know if it's maybe harder or better to target people, but I think people they're being trapped in sort of more echo chambers online, whether that's, you know, right-leaning or left-leaning. There's not really like seeing a mix of ideas. People are getting trapped in their own spaces, which I think makes it harder to reach people who you need to say, you're not being fed the right information. You know, people, I don't think, want to go out of their ways as often to seek or research what they're looking at or what's being fed to them.
Need to be trapped in our echo chambers instead.
Yeah.
Bella, are you a bad person who likes doing bad things? Tell us about yourself.
I hope not. I like to think not. I like to think that hopefully I'm a good person sometimes.
Tell us about the best things that you've done here on the Climate Action Show.
Yeah, well, I actually got started, I was just saying before to Shay, before we started the show, I started like probably exactly a year ago. My first ever show was Climate Action Show Radiothon show last year.
Wow.
It was with Rosie, actually. I remembered we caught up five different activists that we knew, Rosie knew and sort of arranged, as well as Vivian as well, just to talk about I guess the different avenues that activism can take and where it falls. I think I really love the show because everyone really brings different ideas to it and different elements to it. You know, like Shay said, I think she focuses a lot on like thinking and like psychology around how we
thinking
think about
not doing.
Yeah.
But I don't want to do.
No, but I think thinking is doing, you know.
Yeah,
that's doing a lot of work. Yeah. And I think I really like focusing on how I guess how you can get people interested in climate change, or how you can get people to realize it does affect them. And I think that's through like maybe not the usual avenues.
And just a reminder to our listeners that climate change can affect you right now.
Yes.
Through giving us your money. So if you want to do that, you can donate on 03 9419 8377, give us a text on 0488 809 855, or head to 3cr.org.au/donate to do that. Mainstream media won't talk about this, But it's actually true that $1 coins repel carbon dioxide. So the more that we have, the more insulated we are against the future effects of climate change. And it's why billionaires aren't worried about the climate crisis.
That's what they don't want you to know. And just speaking on donations, we've got a few before the show. We'll quickly shout out. So
please read some out and I will give you some reaction sounds. Can you read out the amounts as well?
We've got Renata Funari, who donated $67.
Oh my God, she gets a magpie. Thank you.
Thanks so much. We've then got Lou Riley for $20.
Whitbird for you,
from Shoreham.
We have Rod and Sue Wiedemann from Upper Beaconsfield, and they gave $400.
Oh, my God.
Thank you so
much. Oh, my God. The full lyrebird for you.
And we also have...
We got 10 seconds to go today. This is
the whole lyrebird. Okay. Sorry. Sorry to cut off your lyrebird.
Amazing.
Yeah.
That's quite techno almost. we've also got Brendan Bonsack, $36 from Coburg.
Oh, we're getting the whole set. Okay, a butcher bird for you.
I like that.
That was nice. Yeah, I like that one as well. And then we've got Richard Barnes from Fairfield, who's donated $100.
Oh, my God. Thank you so much, Richard. You can have a magpie.
Wow, I like that. So,
is this a good idea? Was this terrible?
No, this is great. You heard it here first. If you donate, you'll get your own personal bird call. Yeah.
I think we've only got like four, though, so it won't be personal. It'll be
whichever one we think you fit into, maybe.
It was not easy trapping all of these birds in this studio.
Yeah. So that leaves us at a total of $623. So we've only got $977 to go, which I think we can do.
So if 90,777 of you give 0.1 of a cent each, then we can all go home right now. But I'm curious about our style icon here, Rosie, who's been sitting here so quietly in the corner, which is not characteristic of a radio show host at all.
Yes, hi. I'm Rosie, and I've been with the Climate Action Show, mostly a bit more in the background of recent times for, 3 years or something.
Mm.
Yeah, and I started my climate activism when Extinction Rebellion started back in 2019. And, so that's why I love the Climate Action Show, because climate activism is really, really important, and it's great to talk about it on the show, because climate activism actually is connected with just about everything else, because, you know, it's connected with, you know, climate justice. There's no climate justice without Indigenous justice, without housing justice, without anti-war justice, because all of these, you know, awful things are very much connected with damaging the environment.
So if you literally care about anything at all, donate to the Climate Action
Absolutely.
Show.
Absolutely. Feminists, all feminists should definitely donate to the Climate Action Show.
Is that where you come from, the feminist movement?
I've kind of been a feminist for a very, very long time. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I'm part of any particular movement, but I'm a massive fan of Zelda DiPrano, I have to say.
Oh, tell us about her.
Oh, okay. So Zelda DiPrano, there's a statue of her outside Trades Hall, in fact, and she was a very staunch women's rights, women's equal pay activist back in the late 60s, early 70s. So she chained on to the doors of the couple of Commonwealth buildings when the case for equal pay for women was being put and lost. She was just by herself one time. She just chained on and refused to remove herself, had to be cut off by the police.
Wow.
Then the next time she did it, a couple of other women joined her.
Oh,
in
yes.
fact, we've had one of those women interviewed on the show, Elva Geike, who lives up in Sydney. She was there locking on with Zelda Duprano and a couple of other women. It's all part of the same thing, you know. Climate activism is connected with the fight against the patriarchy, against capitalism, because really I think they're the causes of all our problems, basically. I'm sure a lot of people will disagree, but I've made that bold statement. Thank you.
I feel like if we just lock you and Shay in a room together, then we can get most of the world's problems solved in 5 minutes or so.
Yeah, I don't know. I just think I don't really do much. Rosie can do all the activism for me. but it is all interconnected. I think, like, it is so ecological, and I think that's why 3CR is so important as well. I mean, I know we said we weren't going to talk so much about, you know, why this is a radiothon is so important, but 3CR is the only, well, one of the only stations that is genuinely community run, and there is no corporate or government agenda at all behind 3CR. There's always people in the studio, there's always people here having a chat about all of these interconnected issues. Every show in a way on 3CR is connected, so even if you're not supporting the Climate Action Show with your donation, just any support for 3CR is really helpful, because as we in some ways descend into a lot of fascist and authoritarian regimes, which is what is happening, we need this kind of community media and community radio to keep telling it how it is, and to keep it all connected.
Really, and you can join us right now by giving us a call on 03 9419 8377, and come and have a chat with us if you like.
Yeah, for sure.
And a call out to all the XR people listening.
Yeah, you know who you are.
Yeah,
I was also involved in XR back in the day. I was part of the arts team, making their posters, working on the giant stuffed animals, working on the costumes and all of that. I still have a life-size Perspex coffin in my shed. If anyone wants to pick that up.
Hopefully I won't need it for a little while.
I think we're going to have some music, and then after that we're going to hear from Vivian Langford, which is really exciting.
Yeah, so, but just before that, I would love to hear from I'd love to hear everyone's utopian visions for a ideal Australian climate positive future. Just off the top of your head.
Yeah.
off the top of my head. Oh, I don't know. Yeah, just justice for every cause, every issue. First Nations justice, climate justice, women's justice, I guess everything. I envision an ecological future for Australia where everyone recognises how interconnected the issues are, like Rosie said.
I envision no politics, no politicians, citizens' assemblies making all the important decisions.
Oh my God, have you been very inspired by the Swiss referendum, hearing about that and learning a bit more about their system of like four referendums a year where citizens collectively decide on like important government policies? I've been loving hearing about this system.
Okay, yeah, and no, I haven't heard about that.
Yeah, they just had a big one that went on recently.
Yeah, super interesting. I think in my ideal future, I guess people care. That would be my main thing, you know. I think, as we said before, a lot of people know what's going on, whether they believe or not, whether they like it or not. But I don't think there's much care for it. I think everyone's kind of living for the moment, which is great, I think, you know. But I think we got to think about, you know, how do we keep this going? How do we, you know, like 30 years down the line, you know, not even like 100 years, like just 30, you know, like even just short term, how do we keep living like we are now? You know, how do we keep things going? How do we keep good things happening?
Yeah, just like the lifetime of a good pair of shoes. Just need to think that far.
I've got it actually. a great suggestion that I reckon would solve quite a few of our problems. Give the land back to the First Nations people who know how to look after it.
Yes.
Let them make the decisions.
Abandon Australia.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's only the only fair and just thing to do.
Something that I would love to see is a representative for nature in Parliament. We've got people representing like areas of geographic land, but they're only representing the humans on this geographic land and the interests that they hold. I think it would be good if they represented all the interests of the land, including the interests of the river, the interests of the forest, the interests of the trees, everything that lives on their land, not just the human people. But this is just my ideal utopia. Please text us in yours on 0488
809 855. On 3CR 855 AM, you just heard Money, Money, Money by ABBA, ABBA. ABBA, ABBA. Oh my goodness, I'm doubling my words now. Money, Money, Money by ABBA, and that's because it's our Radiothon episode, and we would really, really love if you would donate, which Antimony just went over, but you can call us at 0394198377 or text us at 0488 809 855.
Send us your text, send us your unrepeatable messages, send us your spicy takes that we Google when we read but we can't read out.
We'll read it all. And speaking of, we've got a few donations here. First one we'd like to thank is Lizzie, who donated $100, and she said,
she's online.
I'd like to thank Vivian and the crew for their extraordinary work they do for the community, and it should be enshrined in the mainstream media. Thank you so much, Lizzie. And big agree. Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
And I think we've got Lizzie on the line if you want to have a quick chat.
Yeah, sure.
Let's have a chat.
Hello, everybody. I just wanted to say your show is always surprising and usually full of hope and energising as well. So I really, really appreciate it, and I wish it was much more widely heard.
Thank you, Lizzie.
Thank you, Lizzie.
Glad you like it.
Thanks so much.
Thank you so much.
It's lovely to hear from you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye. See ya. We also have another donation from Kate in Warrigal. Kate donated $20 and she has said, love the show and everything you do. Thank you to the whole team, and I'll be a forever listener.
Because climate change is forever.
Climate change is forever, yeah. Thank you so much, Kate.
We've got Dan from Werribee who donated $100, and they said, love the show, keep up the good work. Thank you so much, Dan.
We love you, Dan.
Yeah.
We've also got another pledge for $50 from Meg Wiedemann. She couldn't get her car to work. She's my sister. She couldn't get her car to work earlier. And I told her she could pledge an amount now and pay later. And she said, what's a pledge? But she is pledging $50. So thank you, Meg. And now I think we're going to have an interview with Vivian.
Yes.
Have we got Vivian on the line?
Hopefully.
Hi.
Hi, Vivian. How are you?
Good, thanks.
That's good. Yeah, thank you for joining us. We wanted to start by asking you, none of us very shamefully knew what year the Climate Action Show started. So if you could tell us when it started, why you started it, and how you got involved in climate activism.
Yeah, well, I got involved in about 2010, but I got involved with climate action a lot earlier than that. I read a book by George Monbiot called Heat, and back then it seemed like just a technological shift. You know, you could do practically everything except concrete at that time, and, you know, transport alternatives, it all just seemed like just get renewable energy and we'll be right, we'll make this transition. And I put solar panels on my roof and I attended these climate summits. We used to have summits so you could see all the different action groups that were around and hear all their talks and everything. It was a very good way to meet people and to know what to do. And I met the Beyond Zero people and they had this radio show, and so I volunteered with them, and then one day they parachuted me into the show because they didn't have anyone that night. And it just seemed like a natural fit. I just loved doing it and enjoyed it so much. And so I did the course. and I went on from that with Beyond Zero. But later I interviewed George Monbiot and Clive Hamilton and writers and all of that, and thinkers. And there was, but there was a second program, there's a second Beyond Zero program called the Science and Technology Half Hour, and they just did a lot with engineers and scientists. So they, you know, they had 1.5 hours on the radio. Now it's down to just this 1 hour. And I really feel just like the climate movement itself. It's become a sort of diminished force. It's or fragmented, or it's gone online or something. Radio doesn't seem to be where it's at. And I'm very sorry, because 3CR is holding the line. You know, we've got the Radio EcoShock program from Canada and this program, but there's not much else in radio that's about climate action, actually about who's doing action and taking action and thinking.
Do you know why that is? It's because we've got 757 left to bring into our show. But once that happens, we will have we'll have all 28 million people in Australia listening.
Oh, well, you've got a bit of money. That's quite good. And you didn't give the last four people a bird song, so I hope you give them one at the end.
Oh, that's true. That's true.
We'll pick up.
We'll get back to our bird calls very soon.
Vivian, do you have a favourite memory from the Climate Action Show over the years?
Oh, yes, I've got so many. Half of it has been field work, you know, out in the field, meeting people. You know, I've met these activists once with these very rich people, you know, farmers up in New South Wales on the rich Liverpool Plains. You know, it's the best fertile land and there's no threat from coal and gas up there. And I came to this farm with a big log across their gate. And they literally locked their gate and they had a fire. And the lady I interviewed, she honestly, she had pearls in the twin set, and she was so much the old Patrick White type, you know, landed class. And yet she was great. She was so much so funny. And years later, people say, oh, you should interview Mrs. So-and-so. You know, she's getting very old now, and I did. And she told me how she changed her mind now because the young people were putting her right about just how big climate change. It wasn't just fighting off a coal mine. It was this much bigger global existential thing. And so I feel I've covered it sort of generationally. But my favourite memory is when I went to East Timor. And I was interviewing people there about how climate change is affecting them, and I met a person that Juliet from 3CR, Juliet Fox, gave me the names of people who had trained with 3CR. And this one was called Senora Dolce, and I met her. She's a tiny little Timorese woman in this very remote area, broadcasting out of like a tin shed, really. And I asked her, well, what's your program? And she said, oh, we do talk back, and we have terrible roads here, and sometimes it floods and there's a landslide, but the radio still works, and I have people phoning in. And I said, what are they calling in about? And she said, oh, they're mostly farmers. They just want advice about their cows when they're sick, and other farmers tell them what to do. And I just thought, this is what radio really is. You know, when the chips are down, and we might even face this with the climate crisis, we might find that we are really cut off from all the electronics. And I hope radio will be there, and we'll realise what a good communication it is. Because communication, to me, is the absolute essence of it. People need to keep talking, not just, you know, Facebooking beautiful pictures. It's got to be real talking, even when it's difficult to talk.
And if people want to text in with their cow questions, they can text 0488 809 855, and we'll try to solve all your veterinary problems for you.
For a fee, of course.
Bella, what would you like to ask of you?
Yeah, that's super interesting, I think. I think you make some interesting points about how radio has been there for people, and your hopes for it to always be there for people. I was wondering, I guess, I mean, I know you spoke about that memory, but did you have, like, a specific maybe interview or, like, occurrence when you started the Climate Action Show that kind of changed your mind a little bit about activism, or you changed the way you thought?
Oh, yes. Well, not an interview that changed my mind. I think activism has changed a lot from the, as I said, that bright-eyed technology future that we thought then, and through a lot of direct action, now people being put in prison, and, you know, a lot of really... I think we've had to grow up as a movement, and it's not really what I can't even see it as a movement anymore. But one of my favourite interviews with someone, I like doing the international thing because I just get bogged down in the Australian complacency, really, and I like to speak to people who are, you know, facing up to it. And one of the people I like very much called Dr. Salim al-Haq, and he's now died, but he was in Bangladesh, and he went to all the climate conferences. He was a climate scientist, and he had a university there. He gave courses on this, including courses for journalists, you know, because he felt it was very important that the journalists got it. And Bangladesh has such a threat from the tides and that, but he was so proud of it. He was so proud of what they'd achieved just in protecting people. He said, we used to have so many deaths every year. There'd be cyclone and terrible. He said it was hard, so many deaths, and he named all these typhoons where they had record numbers of deaths. He said now we hardly got any. It could be maybe a fisherman who's caught out at sea and can't get back. They might die, but mostly people. He said we send children around with loud hailers, you know, calling out the emergency, and the people go to a place up above, high up. It looks like a car park. He sent photos. It looked like an empty car park, several stories where you could take. He said yeah, people can take their livestock too. You can take the cow up there because they won't leave their farm. And he was so proud of that. And then I had on the same program, I had a Dutch person in the studio with me, and there's Dr. Salim al-Haq telling us all this, and the Dutch guy, who was an expert on, you know, like the Netherlands, you know, on sort of you know, keeping back the water, you know, what you call it, flood mitigation and that sort of thing. And he was talking about that and how sophisticated the Netherlands system is. And Dr. Salim al-Haq was still on the line, and he said, I am very interested in this. I want you to come to Bangladesh and talk to us here about it. And that, in fact, happened. That scientist, I think he might have been an engineer, you know, he went to Bangladesh and helped them. So to me, that was practical use of the radio, and it was one of my favourite memories.
Well, such a good example of how radio connects people in such different ways as well, I think, like, with the media landscape currently as it is in Australia. I mean, you've got so much corporate media, but then there's social media as well, which is so polarizing and, like Bella said, such an echo chamber. But radio really is unique and different in that way, and I think it will stick around. But Vivian, I also wanted to ask if Bella, you don't have another question?
No, go ahead.
How you think the show, like, in particular, has evolved over the years that you've been on it, and what you can kind of envision for the future of it now that there's quite a few new people on the show?
Yeah, well, for the future, I'd like to see the show broadcast in more places. You know, in every place where there's a community radio, and I just don't mean in Australia, but overseas too, like Radio EcoShock from Canada, but he has that program in all the university radios in the US and in Canada. So, you know, there's a kind of an outreach needed, and somebody, it's a big job, but someone to approach these people, would you like to take our show and get our show out? And I think we should be proud of the show. I mean, last year we had the Deutsche Welle, we were finalists in the Deutsche Welle competition for Outstanding Presenter of News and Current Affairs, and I think we've got a lot to be proud of. Sometimes not all the shows we do are sort of timeless, or, you know, can be played over later, they're pretty timely, but a lot of the programs we do, I think we can be really proud of, and we should just try to get it further out, you know, to reach more people, because it is a question of hearts and minds. And I do think it's been a huge learning, a distrust of the mainstream media. I used to be very satisfied with it, you know, back when I was working, I wasn't retired, I had hardly time just to look at the headlines, and I was really satisfied with it. But now I'm so critical, because I think, you've left out so much that's important, and you've skewed the questions in a certain way to leave out essence. And for example, just recently I've been covering the Santa Marta conference since February, and I just found that so fascinating, but no other media, or not many media, are really covering it. They just give an out, you know, like the summary at the end. They're not there talking to the people, which I've been trying to do and I'm still doing them, and they had very big vision ideas, and they were mostly with the Global South and people who are not in such a comfortable and complacent space as we are.
Hmm. You mentioned before about the momentum of the movement in Australia changing. Why do you think that is? Do you think it was COVID? Do you think it was just like people getting burnt out from the topic? Do you think it was nefarious forces?
No, I think it was before COVID. I partly think it's social media. Mm-hmm. People stopped meeting in public and having to hammer out. You know, I talked about the climate summit. You know, you have to be able to disagree with people and feel comfortable about let's talk this through, let's work it out, let's, you know, have the clash of ideas. People now just seem to be timid about that and don't interact and don't like interacting. They run back into, as you said, I think you said before, like a little echo chamber. But it has to be that people have to be braver. So it's not just hoping it'll all turn out. It has to be braver. And like we saw with Extinction Rebellion, terrific creativity was unleashed. You said you just had have a coffin in your shed. Well, that's right. We had costumes and props and look at me kind of, you know, sort of things. I mean, you said you call me a guardian angel before. I remember where there were the climate angels. Mm. I forget if they called them guardian angels, but the climate angels used to turn up at things. And I remember when it was a terribly sad thing. One of the farmers up in the north, New South Wales, he'd committed suicide because the gas wells were encroaching and he could no longer, you know, resist them. And his daughter told us that, you know, he'd taken his own life. And in Melbourne we had I remember going and the guardian angels came. It was almost as if they were priests, you know, that people were talking to them. These women dressed with these giant wings and costumes, and we had, you know, flowers and wreaths and just in a little corner somewhere to remember this man and that the, you know, he'd been done. And I think also we're further down the track now in worldly wise. You know, people go in thinking, oh, it's just a matter of writing to my MP. But people have to, if they hang in long enough with taking action, like it sounds like, you know, Rosie, you know, she's done a lot of action, brave climate action herself. And you, once you've done it and decided you'll stick with it, you become sort of used to it, but other people shy away. I'm not going to, you know, I can't put up with all of this. And and they lose their bravery. And that's a real pity because yeah, I don't think it was COVID. I think COVID did keep people at home and online and everything, but it was so wonderful seeing all those airplanes on the tarmac, not flying, and all those cruise ships burst somewhere around the world. People seeing the Himalayas for the first time. I remember COVID as a climate breakthrough, except I thought, oh, we won't go back to the old consumerism. Mm. But obviously we did.
Yeah, there was a big back to normal movement. So what advice would you give for someone who's listening to the show, who's thinking, oh, I want to get involved, but it is a bit scary? What's a good idea for a first action that they can take?
Well, I just think the first action will be to do what they're doing now. Send us a few dollars and send a little cheerio. Like we heard from Lizzie, she just obviously listens and she sends a message. Encourage other people. I think there's far too little communication that's encouraging. And even between us as a team, I mean, very, very thin. You know, we just do these shows and you need more communication and encouragement and enthusiasm. And then you start realising, oh, this is great. Taking action is great. It gives you courage and keeps you motivated. I can't not do this now until I'm too old to do it, but I sort of like it because I meet all the people and they're an inspiration to me. So I think we'll get into media, you know, this kind of media. It really is needed. More media on this is much more needed than, I think, even the more action.
So getting together with community.
It's the debate that needs to be happening. Challenging the gas, challenging the, you know, the giant coal mines, we're still giving permissions to them. So
I can see Billy doing backflips in the studio here, so keen to talk on air.
I got another donation pledge, which before we let you go, Vivian, I think is for you. It comes from Stephen Langford from Katoomba, $100, and they say, you're amazing.
Are you going to give him a bird song?
Yes.
There we go. The full lay bird. Amazing. And just
Well, I was going to say that sentiment from Stephen Langford is echoed by everyone in the studio. We all think you're really amazing, Vivian. And we thank you for the guidance. But I think we're going to cross now to Bronwyn, who is going to talk on air. She was one of the climate angels that you mentioned. And while we're getting her on the line, do you mind just giving us a little background of what those climate angels were? Just a reminder.
Well, they were just beautiful. They were people who appeared and they were dressed as angels, very tall. Their wings made them tall, but they just appeared at various, I don't know which events I was at, but protests and events maybe. But that time when it was like a funeral for that man, they became like real angels that you might speak to and just tell your heart to. And they kind of, it was like a benediction in a way, just these people. You know it's acting, but there were also these other ones who, maybe it's the same people who came up as funny people to, I think they were the sort of medieval scientists, you know, the Flat Earth Society, and they used to turn up wherever Josh Frydenberg was, or people like that, they turn up and say, oh, this is all rotten what you're doing. You've got no idea the earth is flat and you keep denying reality. And it was really funny, you know, and it got media and it got everyone loosened up a bit thinking about it. So creativity, loosen up the communication and the creativity and lots of new things will flow.
I think we rely so easily on people and things telling us kind of what to do. And I think especially with AI as well, the creativity is diminishing ever so quickly. And, yeah.
No one can take it away from you. Don't ever believe it. You know, you've got it inside you and your humanity. Humanity and creativity, no one can take it away from you.
No, yeah. Do we have Bronwyn on the line?
Not yet.
Oh, okay. Well, I have one more question for you, Vivian, before you go. What would you say to someone who wants to be as good as you at radio presenting?
But I was lucky. I was retired, you know, and they said, can you do our radio show? And I did it, and then I did the course. And because I was retired, I was able to travel a lot, you know, to these demonstrations and court cases and to East Timor and lots of things like that. You have the time when you have the time, but someone who says, I'm fully working or I've got two kids at home and I'm fully busy but I want to do something, well, start small. Start by encouraging someone else or writing to a member of parliament. I don't think they usually reply anymore, but one member of parliament did tell me just recently, she said, oh, you've got no idea, it was about Gaza, but she said, we've got 10,000 letters coming into the office, letters and emails for Gaza. Oh, gosh. You know, no wonder climate change is being upstaged, but I'm glad it's being upstaged because these things go together. But start somewhere. Start with something. There's a campaign at the moment now about taxing the gas, for example. You know, Australia should have a tax on exported gas and eventually we should phase out the gas export altogether. Get involved with that. That's the Australia Institute and various other. Find some group that you can campaign with or just add your voice to. But then people find their place. They find something to do. It's, just don't lose hope and don't be alone in it. I think one of the best advices is pick your battles. Don't go alone. The time is now.
Yeah, I think finding your place is really important. I tried heaps of things before coming onto 3CR. So sometimes you just need to try out a few different things before you find the people and the place that's right for you.
Yeah, and you're lucky because you're meeting at 3CR. You can meet in the studio and hang out in the kitchen and talk to all different people. And I used to find it funny at 3CR because all the other programmers thought their program was just as important as me. And I said, mine's about climate change. Who would mind about gardening? And so people are mad about their thing, you know, and the enthusiasm rubs off on you.
It's beautiful. Yeah, we're super, super grateful to be able to have talked to you. And I think you make some great points that, you know, all our listeners are going to take away, but definitely all of us here in studio as well.
That's okay.
Yeah, thank you, Vivian.
And thanks to 3CR because they've sustained me all along too.
And now we're going to be chatting to Bronwyn, one of the angels.
Hello.
Hello.
G'day.
Hi, Bron.
Hello, Rosie, and everyone there.
Hi. Thanks for calling in.
Hey, it's a pleasure. Yeah, look, talking about angels, do you know, I don't feel very angelic. However, I have played the role a number of times. My God, I think we started in 2013.
Well, happy lucky 13 years.
That's right, yeah.
And what got you into it?
Oh, look, I was so sitting in... I'm quite old, and I went to a Friends of the Earth climate, what was it? It was Quit Coal or something or other campaign that they had, and I was surrounded by these very gorgeous young people. And I felt a little bit sort of old. And then down the stairs came these couple of women just in white with, at the time, beautiful, they were chicken feather wings. But, yeah, they just looked absolutely gorgeous and they just said, well, how do we look? We're going to be climate guardians. And I loved it so much. I said, oh, sign me up. So I got to know Deborah Hart and... who was then the other main angel, Liz Connor. And, yeah, we started doing little actions everywhere in our chicken feather wings. We then graduated to some absolutely glorious wings that had cranes and, what are they called, sort of, harnesses so that we could carry them, because we really didn't carry them, stick them into tubes, the frames would go into tubes down our backs, so that we could carry these big long feathers. Well, they weren't feathers, they were material wings. They looked absolutely gorgeous. And they were modelled on the Tasmanian activist Alana Belton, who was up in a tree stitch with the most beautiful wing for, I don't know, many days.
And, Bron, as you say, you're not so angelic anymore. You've come quite a long way from being a climate angel. I've seen you in action. In fact, I've acted with you in action doing some pretty angelic unholy things, unholy things, all for good cause. So why do you support the Climate Action Show and 3CR?
Yeah, give us some compliments.
Wow. We really need to spread the word, don't we? Haven't we been doing this for decades and decades? And sort of we take a couple of steps forward and then we slip back as many steps. So I think the most important thing is that Extinction Rebellion demand number one, tell the truth. And what better way to do it than over the airwaves? And it was so lovely listening to Vivian. I've known her for ages. And she's an angel, a true angel.
She is.
I've changed from angel to rebel. And I think it's more effective, actually. What do you reckon, Rosie? You've done both, too. You've donned wings.
I have once, that's true, yes.
Yeah.
I think despite the draconian anti-protest laws, we've got to fight against them and not be bullied and repressed into not taking action, because obviously it's working or they wouldn't be trying so hard to stop
right,
us.
That's right. Yeah. And I'm loving the message that's coming through now of looking at
inequality and just how much that inequality has grown over the last 10 years or so.
Yep.
To the extent that we've got, I counted the number of noughts, it was 12 noughts that a certain person lays claim to now.
Oh, the trillionaire, absolutely. And it's
so
all connected.
Them all. There's
exactly.
Money
out
there.
Yep.
And we know how to use it well, don't we?
Exactly. Thank you, Bron, and thanks also for your donation.
Yeah, we're being bullied and harassed by time itself right now, so we only have a few minutes left.
Thanks a lot, Bron. See you soon.
Pleasure. Love you all. Keep up the good work.
Thank you.
Bye. Just before we wrap up, we've got another donation from Anna Carmody. She donated $100 and said, well done. Thank you so much, Anna.
Thank you. Make pie for you. And that's it from us on the Climate Action Show on this radiothon. It's been Shay and I's first radiothon, and we were so scared. We were so terrified. It's very scary. But we've hit the $1,000 mark. We've raised $1,043.
Wow!
Just
thank
in
you
this
so
hour.
Much.
So thank
everyone.
You to everyone who's donated.
Yes.
Every single cent is going to go towards buying us fancy coffees, and cool little stickers and the things to put on our water bottles. So thank you to everyone who's donated. We'll be having a garage sale later in the year to raise the rest of the money, so listen out for those details in the future. And next up is Breadline.
You've been listening to a 3CR podcast produced in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.